Good evening, good morning, no matter where in this world you are. All we know is that it's another live edition of the Highbury Squad. And let me tell you, do we spoil you guys? I think we do. We have another legend in the house to match the legend that we always bring you in the house. Let's go. Okay, boys and girls, as you know, the Highbury Squad does not mess about. Welcome back to the show, PG. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, everyone. I finished work.
I can't work this.
Oh, my God. And I love that the manager is already getting stuck in. And
right.
He doesn't like the formation. He doesn't like the formation.
Pretend it's like, that's it.
Tinker a little bit like Ranieri. There we go. Perfect. Oh. I love it. We got Super Kev in the house. And we also have, okay, two-time Division One champion, FA Cup winner, European Cup Winners' Cup winner. Yeah, hey. And let me tell you, a midfielder here that finished only, I think it was maybe third or fourth to Mr. Diego Maradona and Michel Platini one year. Ladies and gentlemen, the legend, an Everton giant, but also the manager, former manager of Sunderland and Manchester City. Welcome to the Highbury Squad, Mr. Peter Reid.
Thank you. Thank you. And nearly signed for Arsenal.
Did you?
When?
Oh, look at them, they're shocked.
No, we're not shocked. I just want to hear about it.
Played against Arsenal 1980. Just got back from a knee injury. I was out a year. Played against the great Liam Brady, great friend of mine. Drew 0-0 at Bolton. Oh, one each at Bolton. And got beat 3-0 down at Highbury. And Liam then, I think, went to Juventus. And,
yes.
Terry Neal and tried to sign me. But we had some contract difficulties. I had it with Bolton. Hence, I didn't go. I think Peter Nicholas might have signed. Am I right? Around about that time from Palace. I think so. But I was very close. I was down at Highbury. I had talks. Ken Fryer might have been the secretary.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Lovely man. Yeah. It was really close. I think Donnell was his coach as well.
Yeah.
If I remember the Arsenal team, I think Pat Jennings was there and obviously Liam and David O'Leary. I think John Hollins, Pat Rice was there, definitely.
Yeah. Ricey was there, yeah.
Game Ricks was there. Big Frank. Frank was up front, so
Stapleton, yeah.
So what happened? Why didn't you sign?
It was something. My payment from Bolton Wanderers, let's just say there was a hitch in the negotiations, and traumatic. I think Arsenal might have signed Clive Allen, then
yeah, they did,
Palace, and then Kenny Sampson, my great mate Kenny Sampson, coming. So it all happened that quick, and I wanted 24 hours or 48 hours, and we couldn't do it, and it fell down. It's something like that, but it was really close. Honestly,
wasn't meant to be, was it?
Wow. Can you imagine me in London?
You'd probably get into it. Well, you would have definitely been a great Tuesday club guy.
Oh, yeah, we would have.
Also, you moved from Bolton to Everton for 60 grand. And I was asking a mate of mine, I'm like, what would that transfer be today? And we were saying, well, 60 million probably with your talent and what you did and achieved in the game. And we're so honoured that you're on the show. And thank you so much to you and KC. I know you guys are busy in Spain working on La Liga. KC, yes.
Sophie, don't forget, he was player of the year as well.
I know, player of the year. Yeah, I had that on my list too. Yes.
Let's not forget that.
I have to say, as an opposing fan, Peter, you were one of those players that we love to hate.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, so much respect, because you were one of those players that we wish we had in our team. Yeah. And those are few and far between. But let's get rolling here. Let's start. Let's kick it off. This is inside the dressing room, and we're stepping behind the beyond the pitch and the white lines with you. And the beautiful thing about, I think, your perspective, Peter, is that you can come to us from a player and manager. Not an easy task. We've seen great players not adapt to management at all. But I want to start at the very beginning and just, you know, kick off at Bolton, because you're a young lad and, you know, now you're full of confidence. You've got all this experience and wisdom of the world, but you go to Bolton. And what does the young Peter Reid feel like when he first steps into the dressing room at Bolton?
Wow. Well, I might be giving me age away, and I don't...
Don't worry, Amanda does it all the time.
I left school in the June. I was 15 in the June, sorry. 15 in the June, left school in the July, and went straight to Bolton Wanderers. So I'm a 15-year-old kid. Just left... Liverpool Highton Boys. Highton Boys won the English Schools Trophy, which was the big one for school boys. But just a little piece of useful information or useless information. Our coach and school teacher was a certain Mr. Alan Bleasdale.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was mad Liverpoolian, but obviously a very talented playwright. So he was a teacher, so he was a coach, brilliant. And then going into Bolton, I tell you what, you grow up when you're 15 and you go into a dressing room, let me tell you.
Is it a dressing down?
Oh, I could to knock on the first team door and wait for it to come in and absolutely, trembling. It was tough, but it give you that, what's the word I want, steel, strength, character. It was tough, but you grew up very, very quickly. Very quickly.
And so you kind of arrive, you're at Bolton, you start learning your hard craft, and who are the influencers there at the time, Peter? Who's the manager? Who are the key players?
The manager was a fella called Ian Greaves, who was my second dad in the end. He was brilliant. Really brilliant. He played in the 58 Cup final, Manchester United and Bolton. After the Munich air disaster.
Oh, wow.
He was brilliant. And I'll tell you what I did. I got me David, I think it was 17, but my left back was a lad called Tony Dunn, who won a European Cup with Manchester United and a league. And my left winger was a lad called Peter Thompson, who played for Liverpool. So I'm a young kid. And, you know, you get coached on the training grounds. I got coached on the football pitch with these two great old professionals, but good pros, and it didn't half help me. You know, little just words on the football pitch, which were terrific, you know, for a young player. And then, you know, we started signing the likes of Frank Worthington. Wow, big Frank, you know, who was a terrific footballer.
Great character.
Who was a better header of the ball, Worthington or Batistuta?
Oh, with the Barnett, you mean?
Yeah. Barnett's and heading the ball, the two of them.
I think, you know, honest to God, Batistuta has seen play, and what a player he was. But both of them were better with the feet than their heads. That's why they had them.
The headband.
But you were both terrific, terrific footballers. And you know, when you're playing with that talent, it makes you want to
play better.
But I was over dead lucky. I mean, I played against Pat Jennings. I played against Bobby Moore. I played against the great George Best, Alan Mulry. You know, some of these people. Liam Brady was some player, let me tell you. Yeah. Let me tell you what a player he was. And Johnny Owens, you know. I think that era was a great era for top players, And
could you get the ball off Liam Brady?
Liam Brady was one of the finest players I played against, and we had. I'll tell you what, I got closer to him more at the bar than I did on the football.
So, Peter, what was it like playing at Highbury? Because I would have watched you.
Hold on, before we get to that.
No, I just want him to say when he was saying about playing with Liam Brady
against. Let me tell you, when you walk up them steps and walk into that marble hallway, and do you know what Arsenal stinks of? Stinks is not the right word.
No, you can smells use stinks of, stinks smells of, stinks of class. Stinks of class.
Class. Class.
Yeah.
And, class and the commissioners, quality. The commissioners were all but real good lads. Real good lads. They were brilliant. And even my playing days, I loved it. But even better, managerial days. I got a great story later on. Or when you want.
Okay. Take us early. Then. Let's go quickly then from Bolton to how you end up at Everton. 60 grand transfer, and you end up at Everton.
Well, like I say, in 1980, Everton were interested. Arsenal, Wolves, and it. I got another couple of injuries, and then 82, 83, I ended up going to Everton for 60 grand. I think that the fee in 1980 that Arsenal were willing to pay was 600, and. Went and had the medical at Goodison and failed the medical. And Howard Kendall said to me, Howard Kendall was brilliant. He was, you'd have loved him. Howard Kendall's gone to me, you failed the medical. I've gone, oh, Christ. He said, what will you be doing next Saturday? I said, well, I'll be playing for Bolton. He said, yeah, I thought that. Sign him on. And he signed me on with a failed medical. He did. He signed me on. And I was like, and he was a real good man manager, but for that instant, I'd have done through a bit of war for him. Brilliant he was. Brilliant.
Can I just ask, Peter, sorry, I'm assuming, I think, that I read that you're a big Red when you were growing up. So how well, did
Arsenal
it...
Fan. Arsenal
no,
fan.
Yeah, Arsenal. No, a big Red in your community. Well, how was it for your family? And how was it for you playing for Everton?
My old lady was always a blue, mad blue. It was my half father who was a red. Bad information. Bad information for me dad. In fact, do you know what? I think he, I done me leg in that game, Bayern Munich. I got chopped.
You remember this one? Which one? This one?
That one, yes.
Yeah.
At half time. I got him back, though. Don't worry.
The bloody sock game. That's legendary.
Yeah. I want to know what your dad said when you signed for Everton, because if I signed for Tottenham, my dad would have disowned me.
Hey, here's one for you. Do you know when I signed for Everton? I was that made up. I went and had a few drinks that night with a lad called Neil Watmore. He had a couple of white wines, a couple of red wines, having something to eat, couple got on the brandy. So I goes in training the next day, right? And I'm not great. I've had the hydroxyzine, Kev. I've had the cold shower. And the training session, I'm seeing
the
balls. Honest to God, the ball's bouncing off me. And the lads are looking around and thinking, who's this we've signed here? So, you know, little doggies are sprints there and back. All the lads are doing them. So Howard Kendall goes, you doing with me? So I think, thank God for that. The manager, he's only lapped me on the three runs. Honestly, he's ran me. So at the end of the training session, hey, honest to God. So I'm sat there and I'm like that. So I think, shall I go and see him? Anyhow, Colin Harvey, the coach, come in and goes, he wants to see you. So I think, oh, Christ. So I goes in, he's in the bath. So I said, Gaffer, hold my hands up, Gaffer. I went out last night. I was on the lash. I said, I was a disgrace out there. I was half drunk. It will not happen again. So he looks up at me and he goes, do you like a drink, son? So I went, yeah, Gaffer. He said, you have got a great chance at this football club. Get out. And that was it.
Wow. Love that.
That was the big talk.
That's my management. That's my management for you. You know what I mean? Instead of fining me, he's given me half a volley, but in a nice way. And I'll tell you what, boom, from then on.
Did that have more of an impact than if he'd have given you a bollocking, kind of yes. Like?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I deserved it and I was expecting it. You know what I mean? Oh, he's going to batter me here. And the way he handled it was really, really quality. I thought, oh, I'm having him. I can play for him.
Did you take that on as a manager yourself then, Peter? Is that how you decided to handle players based on that experience?
Yeah, I had it. I always liked senior pros sorting out the dressing room for me. You know, if they couldn't do it, they'd come to me. But I always thought if you had good pros in the dressing room and they sorted it, you've got a good dressing room.
Yeah, something that Arsenal lack right now, to be honest.
I mean, I haven't got the ins and outs, but certainly watching them on the park, it looks as though it's a struggle. Yeah, it looks as though it's really difficult at the moment.
It's a struggle watching them, let alone anything else on the park. It's a real struggle.
I think it is a struggle for the all Gooners at the moment. With the other lot doing all right up the road, even though I don't think they're great to watch, they're digging out results, but Arsenal have been distinctly average.
So I want to get to this with you and get stuck into it right away, because you, I mean, as a player, I mean, ridiculously talented, you know. And there is one part though, as a player, that I do want to touch on with you, because you know, you're at Everton, you become captain, legend, you win two leagues, you win the FA Cup, you win the European Cup Winners Cup. You're a freaking hero to everybody who's a Blue and all of the players around you. You become, you know, like this mentor and father figure. And then you get into the England team and you go to the World Cup and you end up playing against this fella.
He wasn't
bad, but he was a bad boy, wasn't he, Peter? He was a very bad boy.
God rest his soul. Well, he was bad on one goal, wasn't he? I wasn't captain at Everton. I was captain once or twice. But
once or twice, yeah.
We had half a dozen captains on the park, which tells you it was a good team, you know. But to play for your country is the ultimate accolade, you know. And that game's iconic, isn't it? For a few reasons, for trying to catch him. Like, look, I can't believe Terry Fenwick and Terry Butcher. It's nothing to do with me. I can't believe them two. Useless. What do I have to play with?
Why didn't someone kick him, Peter?
Sophie, I wake up at night in a cold sweat. Leave me alone.
I mean, he goes from villain to hero in that game. And I bring this up because we wanted to touch on it with you, because it's one of the most iconic World Cup games of all time. The greatest, other than the 1970 Brazil goal, you know, the team goal, his individual goal, one of the greatest of all time. Yeah. Talk us through a little bit what happens behind the scenes with the England team with all of this. Just take it away.
Do you mean after or before?
A little bit, like just the smorgasbord of the before, but mostly the after, yeah, for sure.
Well, listen, you know, you're going. I mean, that game was massive for a few reasons. A World Cup quarter final, wow, don't just get any. Well, if you can recall 1986, 82, it's. Well, it was a fact, wasn't it? The Falklands War. It was a political game as well. You know, the Malvinas. There was interest in terms of massive interest. Football. It was like a big game, but that added a little bit of spice. The atmosphere was when you walk out. I mean, we had a team talk about not Mark and Diego. You know, the closest man. Pick him up if you can, and it was without making excuses. It was hot out there, and I think the South American style of play. But it was a nothing game till the handball. You know, the handball. Stevie Hodge, the back pass, Schultz. I'm thinking Schultz is going to get there, clatter him, go and clatter him, and I see him go up, but I think it's going to be. It's going to be a free kick. But then the crowd exploded. And I thought, wow, he's given. And then obviously running after the Tunisian referee, I think Terry Fenwick, Glenn Hoddle, me, we're all. But I mean, he was Tunisian. So he didn't really, his scouts, he didn't really.
Pete, couldn't he understand the industrial language?
No. It was a bit lively. It was a bit lively. But he's give it then. And the thing about it then, and a lot of people, I forget, it was only 4 minutes later, the other one.
Yeah.
The other one, yeah. The other goal, which, I mean, Glenn Hoddle got fouled, and he let it go. And then, obviously, he turns me and Peter Beardsley, and he goes at pace, and I think, the pitch wasn't great, you know, it looks great, but it wasn't great. And I'm thinking, I'll get him here. I'll catch him here. And because, you know, he's running with the ball. And I'm like, I'm with my blistering pace, dear me. So, but I'm running, and he's going away, and then he does Teddy Butcher, he does Teddy Fennec, who's been booped. He gets in the inside, the right position, turns on his left foot. Schiltz comes out like a bag of sugar.
it's all right, you can swear.
Like a bag of shite.
Yeah, you can swear.
He rolls it, and he slides the left footed in the far corner, carry. So it had nothing to do with me, that one. I'm sticking by that.
We've read the books and we've seen some of, obviously, the anecdotes, the documentaries and all that, but afterwards in the dressing room, did you guys just want to smack the shit out of someone? Talk about the tunnel incident,
we went down the tunnel and they were dancing, this Argentina, and Maradona's in the middle of it. He was the man. I mean, you went on about the 70 Brazil goal. I can name all that side. I played against the 86 Argentinian side with great respect. I can only name about five of them. So Maradona was that good.
Yeah.
That good. But he's singing, and Teddy Butcher has got the, Teddy's gone, hasn't he? And he's steamed in, and there's people that are on the dragon and all. It was Elon, yeah. It was lively. I was in the piano with the lid down.
So, how much did you love playing for England? Did you prefer it to playing for club or country? What did you prefer?
Listen, if you're lucky enough to play for your country, it's a fantastic. It's a business. It's brilliant. The national anthem, everything about it, it's magnificent. I love playing football every day. I mean, let's just say it was a bonus. It was a bonus getting picked for your country. And that's why, you know, the late, great Bobby Robson, I thank him for it. Because I got my first cap when I was 29. I had loads of injuries, which I alluded to before, when I was a young man. So it was, and I only got on the side because Ray Wilkins got sent off and Brian Robson done his shoulder. In Mexico, so for me it was, but I was really lucky to play against the likes of Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Germany. You know, I played against some good sides. I was going to say Scotland, but I did play against Scotland. Oh no, hey, I don't want the Scots.
Wait, you've been cheeky. You've been a bit cheeky.
That was a joke.
He likes.
Charlie Nicholas, that was a joke, lads.
Charlie Nicholas.
Champagne, that was a joke, mate.
So, go on, Amanda.
No, I wanted to come off England a little bit and just talk about the Everton-Liverpool derbies, but if you want to stick with England, that's fine.
No. I think we've bashed Maradona respecting him at the same time. I think we're good.
This is God's honest truth, a derby game at Anfield. And they had Hansen and Gillespie in the back four, who were good players, and they're nicking it in. And John Barnes just signed, and where me and Paul Brace and we're chasing them, and we can't shut them down. You know, they're brilliant on it. And Barnes is just getting off the line, getting it. And for 20 minutes, we haven't had a kick. So anyhow, just on the halfway line, I think Steve McMahon knocks a ball out, and Barnes, he half miscontrols it. So I think, oh, I'm having him. So I go... Oh, and I smash him. He rolls over, he's in the shell. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, anyhow, the crowd get up. you big-eared bastard, you blue-nosed sea, you effing this, you effing that, and they're all in me face. And I look in the crowd, I go, Uncle Arthur, sit down, you idiot. My Uncle Arthur. And he battered me.
Oh, that is brilliant. Your Uncle Arthur.
It was my mum's brother. So, and better, at the end of the game, we're going to the players' lounge. He's a mad lib puddling. I've only got him lounge tickets. So he goes in and goes, Arthur, it's very nice, isn't it? He's gone, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. He said, don't tell your mum. Don't tell your mum whatever. It's brilliant. And now that happened the derby game. I loved them. I loved the big games. I mean, people who say, pressure, big games, how do you handle it? I loved them. I absolutely. I like a drink. I do like a shandy, but I've never took drugs. But it must be, it was a high going out, getting ready, being in the tunnel. And we didn't shake hands in the tunnel and kiss each other back in the day. I mean,
how much does that annoy you, Peter? If you were still managing today and one of your players did that, what would you do to them?
No, it's not my cup of tea. It's not my cup of tea, shaking hands before the game. I'd rather kick hell out of each other. But listen, I love football and I love the technique and the athleticism of the modern game. It's brilliant and the brilliant players. But I think the little bit of physicality that's been brought out of it, I think fans like a good tackle. I think it gets them going. It gets them going. So I miss that, if I'm honest. I had horrific injuries, two bad tackles and two accidents, and it was part and parcel of it. But I do miss it. I mean, he said to me now, oh, there was contact. And I go, contact? That's what it is. It's contact sport.
You know, yeah.
Go on, Kev.
Pete, explain to the ladies about when you're playing against Brian Robson and you kick lumps out of each other.
I played against Brian when I was 17. I was at Bolton Wanderers and he was at West Brom. Because in them days, there wasn't freedom of contract. So, you know, your contract come on and the manager went, sign another one. And you ran in there and signed it. You know, go on, you've got to turn it eyes. Well, Gaffer, I deserve a bit more. Sign it. All right then, yeah, no problem, I'll sign it. But we used to kick hell of each other. The end of the game, shake hands, see it. And if we hadn't had 6 pints in the players' lounge, there was something wrong. But that was the way we were in them days. You know, it was a different era. It was an interesting. It was. I loved it. I mean, if I was playing now, I would look after my body. You know, I would. I'd try and be as fit as I can because they're athletic. But back in the day. Me and Kev were having a look at the game the other day from the baseball background. I can't believe how from October through to March, we played on pitches that were absolutely shitholes.
Yeah.
The physicality to run through them pitches, you had to be fit. I mean, the games would get put up nowadays. I mean, I love it. The pitches are brilliant, but when you look back at some of the old days, it's a different game.
Peter, could you imagine in the old days? Because I went to Highbury from the mid 70s, so I saw you at Highbury many a time. I've never been to Goodison Park though, but I've seen you at Highbury. Yeah. I can just imagine if VAR was in the 80s, what would have got? We would have been like five aside.
It'd be 25 added minutes to every single game.
I mean, it's ruined football in my respect. My. But the thing is, you're my era. That's the thing. Everyone you're talking about, Brian Robson, Liam Brady, it's my era. I love that. And now you jump forward to this lot. And as you said, they get a little touch and they dive and they're injured. And God forbid, honestly. And I mean, think of Leeds of 70s. Leeds wouldn't even last 10 minutes on the pitch.
I played against Billy Bremner and Johnny Giles when he left Dirty Leeds. They were lively.
That's putting it lively.
Very polite. The thing is though, Peter, that for me was real football. This isn't real football, not to what I watch.
I think it's changed, and I'm always a bit wary about comparing eras. I think great players at any era will be great players, but when I played, there was more physicality. I've got to say that. A lot more physicality, you know. I tell you what, Johnny Holland could handle himself.
Yeah.
Pat Rice.
Yeah.
Hey, me. He was lively. And I tell you another one, when I was a young lad, Ron Harris and McCready at Chelsea, they were lively as well. And mind you, every team had a couple of lively ones in there.
It's so funny, Peter, because every sport now, even, you know, here in the US with the NFL, you make a tackle and most players, legendary, you know, defensive players will come out and say it's the greatest tackle ever. And, you know, they get ejected from a game now. It's amazing the kind of the protection all around. So let's talk a little bit about you playing for Everton. You know, at the time when you're playing, are you thinking about becoming a manager? Is that something in the back of your mind? Are you even there yet? When did it kick in that you thought to yourself, you know what, I fancy this. I could run a team.
Yeah, because when Howard Kendall left for Bilbao, Colin Harvey got me involved on the coaching side. So I was 29, 30. And then I did my coaching badges when I was 30 odd, so it was always on my mind, you know, about sort of, yeah, having a look at that side of it, the coaching, the managerial side of it was always, something that I fancied without a doubt. I mean, some players don't fancy it, some do. But funny enough, back in the day, sort of, I become player manager at Man City,
yeah. That's where I want to go next.
Ray Wilkins at QPR, Hoddle at Swindon and Chelsea, and Robbo at Middlesbrough. So there was Kenny Dalglish, of course, at Liverpool. So there was sort of a few. It would never happen nowadays. Not a prayer. But back in them days, it was a different time, a different era.
Was Howard at City and you took over from Howard? So you,
yeah, Howard went back to
how Everton. How weird was that? What was that like, mate?
It was strange from being, but the thing is with Howard, I was sort of his number two at City. So there was like, I was a little bit detached from the lads, but I always had the banter in the dressing room. Kevin will tell you, whatever you do in football and playing football, there's nothing like that banter in the dressing room where you take the piss and take the mickey out of each other. It's awesome. I mean, I miss that every single day of my life. I miss the lads say, I mean, I used to get battered, but I'll tell you what, well, we all used to get battered, but we all used to give it back and it was brilliant. So I was it a little bit, but when you certainly get the job, when you get that job, wow, it sort of changes the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Because the lads look at you in a different way, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm on the park, and on the park, I used to get into people. What are you doing? And then I'm thinking, as a manager, it's a young player, you know. Am I? And the heat of the moment afterwards, I'm thinking, am I putting him off here? You know, the man, you know, while you're on the park, which you do, don't you?
How did you manage that transition from being their teammate, right? You got to be the manager. Talk us through that, because a lot of the times we see this transition and then it's very hard to kind of have those still be your mate. But at the end of the day, you're also now accountable for the entire club, really.
What it did, I made a conscious effort because I'd spoken to a couple of people. When you're on the pitch, you're a player. I determined that. I had to be a player. I had to, like, I'm a player. I've got to, you know, whether I make it. And I didn't do substitutions. I let my assistant do it because I'm in the heat of the moment. He might have asked me something, but virtually. But I'm a player first, you know, and I think that's important. And I tried to set an example in the way I played. You know, I always sort of give what I had. And I think that's all you can do. But nowadays it couldn't happen. If I'm honest, it's very difficult because you are the things that come into it, even nowadays, press conferences, then went to what you like now, but you were live because you had the local radio, local TV, and in Manchester, as you know, it's a football mad area, so there was a lot of commitments. You didn't have a director of football, a CEO, you just you and the chairman used to do the transfers, so that was time consuming and mentally taxing, especially with my mentality, that after battle. So So it was all, it was tough. It was tough, but something that, because like other Kenny had done it and other people had done it, it seemed like a natural progression then, but nowadays, not a chance. But
so
I enjoyed it.
So how did you deal with the pressure? Was the pressure of being a player different to the pressure of being a manager?
Yeah. I mean, a player, you go out there, you give your all. I mean, I didn't like getting beat. And I was horrible when I got beat. Horrible. But as a manager, you can't be that horrible because people are looking at you to bounce back. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, you had to put on a brave face, if you like. You know, come on, we're at it. And because I always think after the game, you know, it should hurt. It should hurt. You should, you know, because getting beat is horrible, isn't it? And it should hurt, and it did hurt, but you know, people are looking at you. You can't do anything about it. All you can do is affect the next game. So that's what I try to do. But
yeah, I think that's one of the things that bothers us a lot as Arsenal fans, Peter, is that there are some players that we just don't feel the pain is enough. You know, when you see players smiling and hugging at the end of the game,
hey, Sophie, I'm with you. I can't have it. I can't have it.
It's really brutal. And I want to ask you before we kind of get to your time at Sunderland too, just because we're on the subject and I love following what you're saying. How would you have handled someone like Mesut Ozil in his situation and someone, a younger player like Guendouzi? So you get a World Cup winner. There's obviously issues in Ozil. He's come back from the World Cup wounded. He's mentally weaker. He's struggling. You know, we know he's a great player. How would you have handled someone like him, Peter?
I think, you know, I've always got sort of basic rules. I know it's difficult to handle players, especially, do you want to be here? Do you want to play for this? If you don't want to be here, let's sort it out. Whether we can do it financially or everything, you've got to show me, do you want to play for this football club? Do you want to go out and give me what I want, and give this football club what I want. And I think sometimes, and I know there's huge amounts of money involved in that, huge, and I know it's big, but I still think that's the basics, don't you? Don't you? You know, the desire to want to play for your football club. Because, and there's great old sayings, if you know, it's one bad apple. There's great old sayings that I hang me up by. If you get one bad apple, and I'm not saying he's a bad apple, but to get one bad apple, you've got to get him out of the door. And, you know, you've got to be rolling in the right direction.
Have you ever had that at one of your clubs where a player that is troublesome is kicking it off and getting other players involved and you as a manager then have to sort it out or figure it out? I think that's what we're trying to understand at Arsenal right now, especially with the Socrates and the Ozils of the world and the Mustafis and the Kolasinacs, is how difficult that makes it for someone like Arteta. Have you experienced that personally at Sunderland or City?
I had it with two of my players who I loved. Michael Bridges, who went to Leeds, and he was a good player, and Alan Johnson, who went to Rangers, and he said he'd sign contract, and then he said he'd hold on, and because it was in early 2000s, and that for me wasn't a commitment, and we'd just gone up from the Championship as it was to the Premiership pre-season when I found out, and I said, well, you're not playing, you're out of the squad. And there was big news because two of me good players, so there's big news up there, and I just said, you're not playing. And luckily for me, we had to start, but it was a big decision, and the both of them went. And then, hey, listen, I'm all right with them. Bridgie was great, Alan Johnson went, and we're all right now. But at the time, I thought, for the football club, it was the right thing to do. And I was losing two really good footballers.
It's not easy being a manager, is it? It's just not easy. No, and can you imagine Arteta coming into what he came into, then COVID hits, and then Ozil, and everything that goes on, and now we can't even win a football game at the moment. it's so tough. But, I mean, I personally want Arteta to stay. I want it to continue. I just feel, as Sophie said, we've got a lot of players that need to be shifted out. There is no doubt about that. Wenger stayed too long. Emery wasn't the right man. And there we go into Arteta. And most of us want Arteta to work. The problem you've got, Peter, is you know nowadays it don't work, you're out. Where if you look back to when Ferguson joined United, if it had been then, he wouldn't have had the success he had because they wouldn't have stayed with him. And they did. So look at Klopp at Liverpool as well.
Funny enough, I was player manager at Man City when Alex was getting battered. Caned, by the way. Oh, writing on walls and everything. And they stuck with him 5 years or 6 years to win his first trophy. To get the players, the squad he wanted. Now,
that's the point.
If Arteta goes, you've still got the same players. Still got the
absolutely.
Same
players. That's our argument.
And the thing is, it takes you nowadays, and I think the pandemic is another added problem. But it takes you 2 or 3 windows, if you have good windows to get rid of some players, because some of these players are on like. They'll sit on contracts till it's right for them. And some of these players are guided by their agents. So it is a difficult way forward to get these players out and to get the players you want in. But all I'd ask as a manager, I'm sure Mikel Arteta is the same. Hey, play for the club. Do your utmost to play for the club. If you are out of contact, you're coming out of contact, someone comes in, you want to go, we accept, let's get on with it. But the other side of it, you've got to get results. We know that. And by the way, may I say, especially at a football club like the Arsenal, I think Burnley were winning before they come on to you. Now, I don't want to put pressure on you, Gooners.
No, they won.
They won. Yeah.
They beat Wolves 2-1.
They were 2-0 up when I watched. So
yeah,
it's tough down there.
Yeah. So Peter, can you give us a similar? Because I want to take your experiences and kind of marry them with Arsenal a little bit here. When you were at Sunderland or City, Leeds, did you find yourself in a position where? As a manager, you want to succeed. You've inherited some institutionalized players. They're never going to change, right? They're a problem. They're sitting on whatever they're earning at the time. Yeah. How much, if you put yourself in Arteta's shoes, should he trust the younger players, the Emile Smith Rose, the Belogans, the Willocks? Obviously, Saka's a different grade and he's proved himself already. Talk us through that a little bit as a manager when you're in the dressing room and you've got some really tricky characters. You've got this youth, but also your job's on the line too.
Well, you've got to be careful because too many young'uns, and you've got to be careful not to set the young players back. I got into a side as a young man. And, you know, I got played 4 games and then the manager pulled me out. So you got to be careful. But when you're looking at your team and some of your players aren't doing what you want, sometimes it's not bad to get a bit of legs in there, better youth, better enthusiasm, better desire. And they might be right, but it's just how many do you get in. So that's where your coaching and managerial skills come in. Where you're on a training ground, hopefully you'll know them, you'll know a bit about them, and then you've got to back your judgment. You know,
Pete,
Kev.
Pete, can I just ask a question? Could you explain to everybody on chat and who's listening? Normally, if you're gonna put a kid in. You want to have your experienced players playing well most of the time to help him through. So, you know, explain that part about not wanting to put too much pressure on the kids when the experienced players are struggling, please, mate.
It's very rare you get a Wayne Rooney at 16 coming on and changing the game. In fact, he did it against Arsenal. Sorry for reminding you.
I know. We spoke about this the other day.
That's very rare, isn't it? It doesn't happen. So usually the young ones come in and do a good job for you. bit of enthusiasm, but you've got to be careful till they get that used to it, playing with the senior pros. So they need help on the park. They need help. It's part of their education. You know, if you look at the way who's come, Rashford's come on, hasn't he? You've got to say, in and out, he's come on. And
yeah, Greenwood's a good young player. He's
exactly. Rice at West Ham's come through. And, I mean, Arsenal have had a few.
I mean, Saka is a quality player,
yeah,
piece.
Yeah,
I mean,
outstanding. He looks as though he's going to have pace to go past people and really hear people. So he's one for the future, but you can't hang your hat on him. You can't say, you know, it's not like... I remember managing Leeds against the Arsenal and playing at Elland Road and defending from our corners because Henri, Perez, the way they hit you on the... You're talking about Arsenal fans sort of being brought up with world-class players, mm-hmm. world-class. So it's hey, it'll come round again. But at this moment in time, you just got to stick with it and help the youngsters as much as you can. And the youngsters need help on the pitch, but from the senior pros. And if you haven't got the senior pros to do that, it's tough for these guys.
So, one of the things that we argue a lot about or debate about on this show, Peter, is Arteta won an FA Cup and somehow he managed to galvanise these players to win an FA Cup and beat City and beat Chelsea.
Unbelievable, by the way.
Right. And he was only in charge for, 6 or 7 months when he did, probably 6 months when he did that. But yet we moved to the Premier League and he can't reinforce the same message or the same tone or belief or inspiration as a manager. Can you talk us through a little bit about when you go behind those white lines in the dressing room, what's the difference between managing a cup game and managing consistently week in, week out in the Premier League to help Arsenal fans understand maybe why there's a difference?
Well, I think... when you go in, obviously, there's a honeymoon period, should we call it. And the Grey Cup run was magnificent and the teams you beat and to win it was brilliant. But then you come to the nitty-gritty and once you have that difficult start and it goes from, if you like, bad to worse, and then Mikel Arteta's not stupid. He'll be looking at the same things as we're all looking at, you know, but he's given me everything they've got. And in today's football, it's very, very difficult because circumstances, moving players on. But he'll have in his own mind who he wants out, but it's getting them out. It's getting them out, and that's where he'll need the backing of the powers that be at Arsenal Football Club. And that's where the recruitment has got to be good. You know, the recruitment of top players. I mean, you know, one of the things that when, if we can go back, when Arsene Wenger come in, he had that solid back five, which was brilliant. And then, you know, he had Bergkamp, who was something else. And then his recruitment was sensational. So he had a basis. Now, as Mikel Arteta got that basis, not really. So it's going to take a few windows for him to get what he wants. Now, whether that will be good enough, only time will tell. But, like I said before, the common denominator, if you move the manager on, is that them players will still be there. So you bet he's been in a year now. He'll know what he needs. He'll know, I'm convinced, who he'll have to get rid of. Let's see how he does. Let's see how he does in January. And let's see how he does in the following window. But, and this comes with the territory of being manager of Arsenal Football Club, you've got to get results.
You have
got to get results. And it's all right saying he'll change it. But for Arsenal Football Club, it's just not good enough to be where they are with what they've got. So he's got to somehow turn it round where hey, let's get hard to beat and get that confidence to win football matches. with what he's got at the moment. And that's his problem, because I'm like you. I'm looking at them and I can't see he's getting the results.
Peter, can I ask you? You just said you're like us, and there's something you interesting you said about Arteta before. He'll know, he'll be seeing the same things. The one frustration we all seem to have, whether you want him to stay or not, is the fact that he keeps persisting with Willian. Mm-hmm. And we, as all of us three here and many, the chat will just go ballistic now, not understand what he sees that we don't. Now, obviously, I've never played football. I've watched it 45 years of my life. But him up there, he's played football, and you've played football.
You must have some good fairy liquid. You look great.
I'm 51, Peter. Thank you. I just want to know why he persists. And you've been watching, and let me just tell you something else, how much the Arsenal fans love you now, because you've been sitting there going, the Arsenal, and that you've adeered yourself to all Arsenal fans at the moment.
I've always
a lot of people don't realise it's not Arsenal, it's the Arsenal. But moving back to Arteta and Willian, I understand what you say about the kids. I just want to bring another question in. And I understand what you're saying, and not everyone is Rooney. I get that. But in my head, Peter, if you are old, if you're good enough, you're old enough. We've got Martinelli that came on at Chelsea and took their defence apart. Now, I understand
Is that the kid who's been injured? He's just got
We've also got a kid called Balogun who has got so much potential. I am desperate to see him. I'm not saying for 90 minutes of a game, but give him either 60 minutes or bring him on for 30 minutes. And I love Arteta and I want it to work. And I'm not one of these that want him out. And I agree with you about transfer windows, but I do not understand not trying with Martinelli or Balogun or persisting with Willian.
You've done me, haven't you? I've been on the internet. I broke them all down, and you've stole me thunder. Can't believe it. Listen, I'm being kind when I say, from when you sign somebody like that, you think he's going to be experienced and lit, and he's looked a shadow of the player
Then don't play him, Peter. No. Why does he keep persisting?
Well, if you interrupt me, I was going to say that. Sometimes you've got to leave him out. Sometimes you've got to say, "Hey, listen."
It happens on this show.
I've got to try something else here. This is not working. Listen, it's happened to me as a player where the manager's gone, "Hey, are you all right?" I come back from Mexico and I lost a lot of weight. And any chance of you getting your arse in gear? And we all need it. And if he doesn't get his arse in gear, he's got to make a change. I agree with you. And that's where you've got to make them decisions as a manager, and that's a fact of life. And if you're not doing it on the park, I don't care whom you are, you've only got a shelf life.
Okay, but then let's go to Martinelli and Balogun. You may not know much about Balogun, but Martinelli.
I've seen him on the internet.
I mean, give him a chance, Peter. If Rooney wouldn't have come on that day, we may never have seen what we saw that day when he scored against Seaman like that.
Tomorrow in the EFL Cup,
But we want him in the Premier League. We just give him a chance.
I think I hear where you're coming from. But I think from his point of view, this is me, he don't want to throw so many in at the same time. I think that's a fair comment. If there's cup games, I'd do it, mate. Go on, let's see what you've got. And then if you do it in the cup games, you've got a problem as a manager, because how can you leave him out?
But they are doing it in the cup games. Well, so how long does it... Peter, we need results, don't we? That's it. We've got to get out of this relegation issue.
I've had a look at the league. And you do.
That goes back to the question about how can he get them up for a game in the cup and he can't do it consistently in the Premier League, did you personally, Peter, when you were, especially at Sunderland, because Sunderland's a really interesting arc. I mean, you had some super highs at Sunderland and you had obviously a couple super lows. You were very close to European qualification. You then kind of also got into a relegation battle, and it's the fluctuation of the Premier League competitively. KC talks about this all the time because I bring up, you know, Wenger's consistency, 19 years qualifying, 20 years qualifying for the Champions League. And he's like, well, Soph, you know, it wasn't as competitive back then. Everyone strengthens year on year on year. Can you talk us through a little bit about Arteta as a manager? He's high coming off the FA Cup and now as a man even, and he's his own ego, because you've got to have an ego being a manager, right, Peter? There's no way that...
Listen, it's his first job and it's a big job for your first yep. job. Like Man City was mine, and sometimes you've got to go through that, the hurt, can I call it that? The hurt, which is at the moment. And you've got to come through it. I mean, it happens to us all. And if you're at a big club, which the Arsenal is a massive club, you're in that, you've got to come through it. And the only way you get through it is results. That, and I keep coming back to that, because you don't get... I'm on about the players to be the same, but if you get beaten the next game, the pressure comes on, and there's only so much pressure nowadays you can withstand. So you've got to get results and you've got to get through it. And will he throw the young uns in to give him that impetus? It's not working the other way. That's a decision for Mikel and his staff. So
Would you right now, if you were manager of Arsenal Football Club,
I would.
What would you do right now, Peter?
Some of the things I'm seeing, I would not. I could not watch. I would have to change it. I would rather have 11 out there giving me everything they've got, and I can't see the energy. I mean, I'd have everything. I'd have the stats about the running. I'd say, look at this, look at that. If you don't all do this and give everything you got, hey, you mightn't play well every football match. Mm-hmm. You've got to be a genius to do that. But hey, give me everything you've got. So that's all.
Pete, can I ask you about? I think this is a key one as well, ladies. That when you can prepare a team. Because you never send a team out to be negative. You send them out to go out and get a result. But could you explain, you could prepare the team just the same as you did in a successful season and the team go out and just don't perform.
Yeah.
How frustrating is that?
Yeah, that is frustrating. But you'll always have a bad day at the office. But when it's a consistently bad day, that's when it's horrible. That's when you go, Christ, I'm in trouble here. I need to do something. And at the moment, it's happening too many times to the Arsenal. And you've got to change it. It isn't working with what he's Mikel's putting out there now. And I'm not telling him how to do his job. I'm just saying, I'll change it.
Have you been through a scenario where you feel like you've got the best team, quality players, I'm sure maybe the Sunderland example, maybe even Leeds, where you just baffled. You go home at night and you sit and talk to the wife, or you're having a little whiskey or a cup of tea, and you're like, How is this happening? We have everything prepared, the players.
Yeah, there's times when you go, what can I do here? What can I do? You know, just say for argument's sake, you're conceding off dead balls, and like you'd work with them on a training and get your hands across, man for man. You go there, you go there. Dead ball comes in, 1-0 down. You're going, fuck. You're going, flip me. What's going on here? You know, and you're thinking, am I speaking Swahili? Are these listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, we've got and this is happening. So, of course you do, but. That's the nature of it, and you've got to find a way. You have got to find a way. If you don't find a way, it's a problem. You don't find a way, and you know it's tough. But there's only one way. You know, there's no magic dust. It's roll your sleeves up, get out there, and do it on the park, and that's it. You know, you've got to do that.
What I'm fearful for, Peter, is that I feel like your era would have rolled their sleeves up and got on the park and done it. I can't see this lot doing it, and I don't know why. But let me just clarify something. I'm not saying change the whole team for kids. No, I'm saying one up front. I'm saying one, possibly two. Saka is in the first 11, and he has been since the start of the season. I'm just asking for a tiny bit of change, and I don't understand why he doesn't do it. There must be something behind the scenes we don't know. There's a lot that goes on, obviously, that we don't know. But I just am curious. You're watching what we're watching here. None of us are at the grounds, and I just don't get it. That's all.
Well,
and
there's certain games and players, and you're thinking, I'm watching Arsenal, I'm thinking, oh, change it. I think the derby, I'm watching Arsenal having a lot of the ball, and I'm thinking, it stinks, this. And they knew what was going to happen. You can tell what was going to happen.
You did say.
I'm not saying it because it did happen, because me and Kevin had a chat about this, and whether he was naive on it, you know, getting caught on the counter. What did he call it now? They don't call it transition. They call it now.
Transition.
Yeah, transition. I had one of them in the car.
It's a transmission, isn't it? Oh,
honestly. Yeah,
listen, when he got the job, he knew he was going to learn in the job as well. That's a fact of life, because even though we worked with Pep, you know, he hasn't that long in that hot seat, and that's one of the, you know, that learning process can't go on. It's not the learning process. Fergie was an experienced manager at Aberdeen. He went through bad times, because you mentioned him before. You don't get the time nowadays.
No,
I want to get into your mind and have the juxtaposition with KC here in terms of striker and the manager, because, you know, when you have Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips, when you're going out for a game every weekend, I'm assuming you're thinking, we're going to get goals here. If we put our players in the right positions, we're going to get goals here. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things we've struggled with is goals. You know, even Unai Emery's Arsenal scored more goals than Arteta's. Unai Emery's Arsenal let more goals in, but they definitely scored more. We're struggling in the creative position per se, but we've also got a lackluster Aubameyang, a player like Lacazette who's lost his confidence, an overblown, overly paid for player in Pepe. Somehow the three of them made.
He hasn't done it.
No, he hasn't. So how do you? What is your take on what's going on up front with Arsenal?
I can only, when we were at our best with Quinn and Phillips, they had two as well. They had Dicchio and Bridges. Bridges was a young player, and they had four who, you know, had a couple of injuries. People forget, and they come in and do the job. But that was in the old Championship. Once you get in that big league, it's hard. But if you're solid at the back, you've got a basis. But you can't keep relying on that. You've got to get a goal. You've got to get a goal sometime. You've got to have a threat, and especially in the big league. In that big league, the most, because you can defend. You can defend. And let's talk about a Tottenham defend. But by the way, they let you, and they've got a threat. Manchester United, Liverpool. And what you've got pace and power on that threat. And Arsenal at the moment haven't got that. Whether he gets the kids in and, you know, we have a look at that. But at the moment, when I'm watching them, I'm thinking, where are we going to get a goal from?
What's the tweak you'd make, Peter, when you see what you've seen since the Sheffield United game, really? Because I think that's the last really good game we played going forward. When you're looking at the team, we're going to play Chelsea. Forget the EFL Cup game tomorrow night, because he'll tinker for that. But going into Chelsea, even if it's not Chelsea, what adjustments do you make? Take us into the mind of the manager here and what you would do to tinker with this team based on the talent that you have.
Well, first of all, the Chelsea game, obviously it's a derby game, and I think Frank Lampard and his coaching staff, I think they will go into it and say, Arsenal are struggling here. Let's keep it tight. Let's keep it nice and tight. Nice and tight. And we'll nick a goal. We've got enough to nick a goal and put added pressure on. Now, on the other end of the stick, Arteta's got to get a goal against them, but not go gung-ho and get caught. So I'd go solid, but up the top end, I'd get pace. Whether it's the kids,
And we've got that with Martinelli or Balogun. Yeah, Martinelli. And we've got a fantastic player called Emil Smith-Rowe that should be playing at number 10. We've got the players. Just have a go. Don't, all right, not all of them at the same time, but what? We've got to do something, Peter. We can't score. Okay. We can't win games.
Well, listen. I read about it. I see Arsenal on the Twitter. I've got pals in London who are big gooners. And listen, your frustration here is battering me. It's battering me. And imagine if I was having a pint with them in Hanworth Villa, where a few of them go. They're off the reds. They're off the red, so I understand that. I understand what you're saying about it. But like I said before, you're playing against teams who are top quality. You can't go gung-ho, you know what I mean? And you cannot, because if you want to play like Leeds United, and people were saying it was great last night, and you get done six, that doesn't work. So you've got to be careful, and the only when I was in these situations, I wanted to dig a result out.
Yeah,
I wanted to dig a result out, not play great, just dig one out, and then
just get a result, solid,
and then get a momentum. And you know, it's got to start somewhere, and it won't be. Rest assured, it won't start where you come out, play beautiful football, and you get four, everyone's high fives, and whoa, the Arsenal are back. It won't happen. It'll happen by
Peter. Would you play Xhaka again?
No, just say no, Peter. We'll move on.
I'd love to hear.
I mean, he plays in that position I used to play. I would, let's just say, if I could turn the clock back 40 years, I would have liked to have played against that chap.
Yeah, that chap.
Skinned him all day long, eh?
Peter, can I just ask, talking about Xhaka, I just want to ask you something about Aubameyang. I've asked Kev this last week, and we rarely disagree, me and Kev, but we do on this. How long do you play a striker? Okay, he did score once this week. How long do you play a striker that does not score goals? When you've got, you may have a player on the bench that can.
I mean, I don't like agreeing with Kevin, because he'll tell you we have murders, me and him.
Star striker being the key word, though. Your most expensive
captain, who's not really a captain.
By the way, he's gone through runs where he's got great goals.
Yeah, just, you know, not recently.
I take your point. Do you know what I think about him? I think he needs players around him. But do you know what? I think if he went on the market, I bet it'd be one or two coming for him.
For Xhaka, yeah, no doubt.
Aubameyang.
Aubameyang.
You know what I mean? And he's another one. He has got something, but he ain't doing it.
Yep. You've
got to get it out of it.
But how long do you go with the not doing it? Because it's week after week after week after week. I understand you've got to play them out of bad form sometimes.
Now, that's where the manager sees them. On the training ground, and that's where he's got to make them decisions. You know, it's all right me sitting here and saying, "Hey, you haven't got goals, I'll change you." He's at the cutting edge. He's got to make the decisions about William Aubameyang, the young players coming in, and that's a fact of life. You know, it's how long do you give him? And by the way, the Arsenal need to start winning football.
Oh yeah, we need to win. We need points. Oh, Peter,
By the way, you look at that league now. And joking apart, Big Sam's coming at West Brom. I'm not going to say
he's going to
get them out. But when you keep looking, and Fulham have started just getting a few results, you know, when you're thinking, Christ almighty, that 10 to 14 points is only 4 points. And it's getting a bit
close.
Stop scaring me, Peter. Stop scaring me. I've never been in a relegation fight ever.
Shall I lighten it a bit?
I want to ask you a question about all your clubs. Go on.
No, and here's one about Arsenal. We're playing at Ivory, cup game. Lee Dixon's whacking everybody. And me left back goes a little bit high. He gets sent off 15 minutes. So I'm up there in the director's box. I'll come down. Paul Stewart goes up. He gets sent off. Got 9 men in 25 minutes. So Paul Danson, the referee. I went, you, I can't tell you what I called them. Something like, fuck it. Well, what were they? So anyhow, he sends me off. First time being sent off. I didn't get sent off as a player. Sent me off. So I goes up the stairs, and you know what the stairs are like in Albury, the marble stairs. And the lads are there. Mr. Reed. So get me a seat. So to get me, move me chairman up. So I've got a seat, and I'm watching a game. Splat. Fuck, you won't believe this. A pigeon shit on me head.
What in the direction?
And I'm fucking raging. And on my life. So I'm raging. And no one had laughed. Everybody in the direct, the commissioner, and I've looked around, and he's going like that. And I'm fucking raging. Anyhow, I've gone down at half time, and I've gone, fucking pigeons here, even shit on your head. And he went, the commissioner went, I agree with you, Mr. Reed, entirely. Outrageous, the pigeons are hybrid. Fucking brilliant, it was, honestly.
It's lucky to get shit on, really. The old wives' tale. Let me ask you this as a manager. You're listening to the Highbury squad. We're here with Everton giant, former Manchester City, Sunderland manager, Leeds United as well, Mr. Peter Reed. We are very, very lucky on the Highbury squad to have this legend with us for just a few minutes more here.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
A couple of questions, Peter, from some people in chat as well. First, how important was a captain to you? Because at Arsenal Football Club, it appears that it's not particularly important these days. And then two, because it's a juxtaposition with Aubameyang, is how would you handle social media?
Good question. The skipper, I like characters. So the skipper went to toss a coin, and I know the Patrick Vieira was Tony Adams was inspirational. But I'll tell you what, when you look at some of them, Boldy's a great friend of mine. What a man! What a man! You know, you had personalities. You had personalities. I liked my team full of personalities. So there was a few skippers. Even though you have inspirational ones, I want the other lads to mix in. And I think that's, if you look at the top teams, they have that, you know, they have that in the makeup, and I'd have that. Social media is so difficult for footballers nowadays. It's so difficult. You've got to be hard-skinned. If you go on social media, what I don't know what them Snapchat and Instagram are. Kevin, like, he loves all that, you know, and Facebook. I'm a Twitter man. And even, by the way, I get battered on Twitter, but I don't take it, you know, I get called.
Don't take it personal.
Yeah, monkey's heed. I get called that off the Geordies, and I love it. I love it, like, and I just say, well, just let me get on with eating my bananas, or I'm getting it. You know, I'm getting in my cup of PG tips and just, you know, and I take it that way. I think, but there's more, there's people out there who are sensitive and who struggle with it. And what I would say to young players like that, don't get involved in it.
Yeah.
I'd say, I know it's the modern thing. I know it's, you know, trendy or whatever they say nowadays. I said, but if you're a footballer and you can't handle the rough with the smooth, I'd say leave it alone, you know.
Peter,
get on with it.
I can't go through this whole pod without. I keep hearing the song "Cheer Up, Peter Reed." The whole time in my head, I'm singing it, thinking, "How did that make you feel when they had a song about you like that?"
To be fair, it was great at the time because we would get. But you know, if I'm going on my holidays or I'm in a barn as a gang of lads.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Brilliant, isn't it? You know when you're trying to just slope off somewhere and have a quiet gin and tonic. By the way, it's not the original version, which was complimentary. It's the other version, which
the Macken one.
Yeah, the Geordie one. It's funny.
Yeah, and the Geordie
one. Seen it, the Geordie one.
Yeah,
it's not pleasant. Yeah, it's funny. Who do you dislike more, the Magpies or Liverpool? Like, if it meant Sunderland beating Newcastle or Everton beating Liverpool.
Believe it or not, I don't dislike anybody, only Liverpool and Newcastle. I hate them.
Can I just ask, what did you think of, did you ever watch Sunderland Till I Die on Netflix?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I did a documentary, Premier Passions, where I was swearing. I thought the Netflix one was, it wasn't, let's say it wasn't as earthy as the one I done. I thought there was a lot of actors.
Do you know what? I loved it, Peter, because being a football fan, and I watched it out the season, I think, I ended up wanting Sunderland to win. You know, and I'm an Arsenal fan. You do, don't you? But what I love about the Geordies, the Mackhams, everybody else, I love...
I wanted them to win for the fans. There was some of the characters in there.
Yeah.
A bit, not my cup of tea, but the fans. Hey, listen. I know football fans, and whatever club they support, the majority are different class. And I love the energy and the passion they follow the clubs at. And I love the arguments and the discussions. That's what he's about. That's what he's about. You useless bastards. I hate you. This, we're the greatest. I love it. That's what it's about. And you can get as passionate as you like, as long as there's no 50 talk.
Yeah, of course.
Just talk pint of lager over the odd occasion and that, you just get on with it.
So can I just say, you've been like in four massive clubs. Mm. Were they similar or was it completely different because of the areas? You got Lancashire.
Big clubs are great. Big clubs are fantastic. Give me a big club all day long with the pressure, you know. I mean, Sunderland in League One, which is old League Division Three, them fans still think they should be Premier League champions. I love it. They do.
Yeah.
They do. And that's the dream, you know. And I think it's great. And like Burnley nearly went out of existence a few years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Sean Dyche has got them with it. So that's it. Sheffield United with Chris. That's why we love football. And hopefully one day Arsenal will get back where they belong.
Let's get a real take, because we love having people on that are not, you know, didn't play for our club, but, you know, we love conversing with them to see, you know, you've given us some phenomenal insights on what you think about Arsenal. Everton are finding themselves at the tippy top of the Premier League these days. They might be getting a little bit dizzy up there, Peter.
Carlo, come on, son.
Come on, Lid.
I asked this question the other night to Amanda and KC, and they twisted it on me and made it about experience. But who did hire the better manager? Would Arsenal be in a different position with the same players if Carlo was made manager? It's a fair question. I'd love to hear what Peter thinks about it.
At the time, there was speculation. I can remember.
Yes, there was.
It. Yep.
I met Arteta, I've had a few conversations with Ancelotti when he was at Chelsea, when I was at Stoke, and he's one of them men who exudes a bit of confidence and
hierarchy,
not arrogance,
a regalness.
He knows what he's doing, you know. He's always and listen, this is how quick. I'm not saying Everton are the finished article, they've a long way to go. But what he's done, he's got Calvin Lewin, who was a young player, he was improved 50%. He got a lot,
He's
signings to Corey Allen and Rodriguez when he plays. I mean, and he's getting a tune out of Richarlison, made them solid at the back. So he's made us Everton difficult to beat. And now, if he can add a bit of sprinkle, i.e. top players, you've got a chance. So it can change, you know what I mean, where you're thinking. I think part of that change is that manager's influence as well. I think he has brought a confidence to Everton, and a confidence and a swagger to the players.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I think you see that on the park. And by the way, the results they've got recently, you know, when I was on about digging it out, it hasn't been great to watch.
They were terrible against us. They weren't great. They weren't great against us.
No, it hasn't been great to watch. Yeah. But they dug results out.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You've got it. And every one of them looks as though they're doing a shift for the club, which you shouldn't ask for. You should have got that.
Pete, if you want to dig results out, but your players are not giving 100%, you're in big problems, aren't you? Like what Arsenal are.
Yeah, you got to change them. Yeah, you got to make a stance at some stage and go, right, I'm just going here with legs. I'm just going with legs and people who want to get after results out for me. Mm. Because then, well, it's not working the other way.
Yeah.
It's not working the other way. Whatever we say, it ain't working. So we've got to get a formula here. And it might be pretty, but I'll tell you what, if you're Arsenal fans and you dig three results out, it's not pretty. At least you see a start.
Do you think what we wouldn't give for 1-0 to the Arsenal? boring that
song
Arsenal. Again,
we just like to sing that song one more time, right, PG?
Every week I'd sing that song for 1-0 to the Arsenal.
Listen, you've got me feeling sorry for yourselves. I'm going to open the
We'll send you off in a minute so you can open your wine. We're going to get you off on a quick fire round.
I'm traumatized.
Hold on.
Oh, do you feel sorry for us now, Pete? Yeah.
Hold the cork.
Oh, good. No one else does.
Hold the cork. All right, we're almost done here. We're going to get you out on a quick fire round. Right then.
Oh, go on.
Who do you think's going to win the league?
They're playing red, and it's not Arsenal.
I pray they do.
Arsenal's not Man United. Oh. So do we. Do you think Tottenham have a chance of winning the league?
They got a chance, but they won't.
Please, God.
Who do you think is the best player in the league right now?
Ooh, the best player in the league right now. Who would I go for? I'd go for...
Mine's Sadio Mane.
Mane, just over De Bruyne. Mane.
De Bruyne.
Yeah, I can't even say his name.
De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Will Arteta make the full season as Arsenal manager?
Yeah, I think he'll stick with him.
All right. And who's going to win the Champions League? You guys are watching a lot of La Liga there. Bayern Munich, yeah. And
I think that Hansi Flick's done an absolute great job. When you see where they were when they got it, you know, he's come in and done a brilliant job.
Do you think Aubameyang's going to get to 10 goals this season?
How many has he got now? One.
Three.
Three. He will, I think.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's going to go off his shin in the 89th minute and it's just going to build momentum. I want to ask you a question, Peter. As a player or as a manager, what was your favourite?
Will Arsenal get relegated?
Oh, not a prayer. Not a prayer.
Oh, no.
Not a prayer. There's more chance of Kevin Campbell buying a bevy.
All right, back to Amanda, your question.
So, Peter, as a player or a manager, what did you prefer and what and who is your favourite club?
Playing.
To get paid
to play footy, to go out there and kick a ball and kick somebody, the pleasure out of it.
Legally.
I would give millions to transport me back 40 years and to go on and go, have it.
Ooh, which game would you transport yourself back to?
Everton, the Bayern Munich, when that cut leg, six stitches, go on, have it.
Wow. Get in there. Good one.
Okay.
Go on, PG.
Okay, so who's your favourite club?
Everton Football Club.
Yeah, I thought we might say that.
Great football. It's one of them. Arsenal's got history, and it's at Everton, the stadium, the old lady, which they're moving out to, Ivory. But you've got something about them. There's you can't put your finger on it.
But there is something about your city, because I've been up there a lot. I've only ever been to Anfield. I've never been to Goodison Park, but I'm going. I'm going to sit with Kevin and Alan Myers. That's my penance.
Myers,
Yeah, but yeah.
I tell you what, you better bring your pace with you if you're going out with them two.
I've been out with him before. Don't worry, I brought my purse.
You've been out with me, really. Don't be giving me no bad talk.
Wow, you're being thrown under the bus, Casey, right
but
here.
There is,
just tell them. You don't even have to.
I will tell them that you bought me a drink. Don't worry. He was not tight. He spoiled me. And you took me out for dinner, didn't you, at San Carlo? It was lovely.
In Liverpool.
No, that was in Manchester.
Yeah.
I've got red Scouse mates, blue Scouse mates. I love the banter. I love Liverpool as a city. I don't care what any southerner says. The nightlife is phenomenal. The people are just brilliant. I know so much Scouse, Peter, probably as much as you.
Yeah, Manchester's a better night.
To be fair to you, I'm saving up for a night out in London.
I'll take you out. No, whenever COVID's off, I'll take you out.
I think you'll have enough money in about 6 years,
sir. £20 for a pint. Hey, go on, Casey.
Hey, listen, guys, Pete.
Have you ever gone in, if you go in the Stafford Hotel, my mate runs it, but I tell you what, you need some till in there, let me tell you.
I think the restaurants and the nightlife in Liverpool is much better than London. I love it out there. I think it's brilliant. It's fantastic.
It's a different vibe, isn't it?
And it's different to Manchester as well, Kev, isn't it?
By the way, this is the best program I've been on, talking about going out in the ale instead of football.
going out on the ale.
Here's the last question for
Taking to the hippodrome.
Yeah.
Pete, he's a guy. Pete, forget all the stats. What's the three things that a successful team needs? No stats. Forget the stats.
I'll tell you one, and it's a dressing room.
Yeah.
A dressing room. A desire. And I'll tell you what, in the modern game, pace.
Okay. Yeah. Just sorry, because I keep thinking of things. How important, because I think it is a captain? Because a lot of people say...
Have you been talked about that? Yes. Follow the dialogue. Or as in the Matrix, follow the white rabbit.
Oh, it's my age, Peter. It's my age. I forget things.
You look all right, but it's up there, girl. Come on.
Oh, please just say it's up there, Queen. Please.
Come on. It's up there, Queen.
Yes, up there, Queen. See, I love it.
I thought you were a princess, not a queen.
Princess Guna. Peter, you have to follow me on Twitter. I followed you today, and we'll have some bants. Don't worry.
Stuff. Unbelievable. Yeah. Listen, Mr. Peter.
Oh, we love you.
How I would love for you to just summarize, like, for us as Arsenal fans, following on from Casey's three questions, what you need. And what I loved is what you said, because the title of the show is Inside the Dressing Room. And today we got the manager's view.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to have the last word before we leave and give Arsenal fans, if you were to give us a halftime pep talk, okay? Peter Reid, manager style.
Go for it.
What would you say to us Arsenal fans?
What am I saying to the players or the fans?
Oh, maybe that. Well, maybe we could have. But I want to hear what you've got to say about the players.
The players.
Yes.
I cannot say anything to the fans because they're brilliant. Through week in week, a pal of mine, Steve Page, who's a big Arsenal fan, he invited me to the game, and it's awesome the support they get, and you couldn't do anything more. You got to stick with your team to the players. I just say, hey. Get your asses in gear for these lot out here. It's poetry as well. Get your ass in gear for these lot out here. What is it?
I might put that as my ringtone. Get your asses in gear for this lot out here.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Peter. The next time I'm in Liverpool, I'm going out drinking with you. That's it. I'm going out.
To be fair, I've got to say, I do like a night out. I've got to own up to that. And I do like the odd shandy.
All right. So listen, not half a lager shandy, right? Like a full-on shandy? Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Have you two been out in Manchester or not?
Come on. These two, they're probably out every night in Barcelona, aren't they?
We were out once in San Carlo in Manchester.
Yeah.
Which is where I went with you.
I was drinking, but obviously now I've stopped. We've tried to get together, but this COVID has shut the bloody pubs, isn't it?
Keep locking us down. It's a joke.
Here's what we're going to do. Next time you're allowed out, okay, we will treat you to an all-expenses-paid night at the Hippodrome in London. These guys know. My cousin is one of the big cheeses over there. And you'll have a lovely steak dinner at the Heliot restaurant. We'll put it all on. But your gambling chips are your own.
I ended up after the game. We played Charlton when I was at Wigan. I ended up in one of them nightclubs in, you know, where you'd have the booze and all them big bottles come out.
Yes. There's Magnums.
Not neighborhood, something like it was all that
in London
music. Yeah, what was it? Name some clubs.
You didn't used to go to Stringfellows back in the day, did you?
No.
I think that's another show.
Say no.
Yes. We need another hour.
I'll leave you with this one.
Yeah, go on. Let's have a juicy gossip story.
No, it's not. I was with QPR, and me and Kenny Sanson went for lunch in Langens. And it lasted 3 days.
I've been to Langens.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Lively.
You scousers know a good night out. I know that.
Oh, my God. Brilliant. You weren't thinking of China White, were you, before?
No.
Okay.
It was only about 9 months ago.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm not in London anymore, so I don't know. But anyway, epic stuff. Wow. I mean, we've been going an hour and a half. We could go on all night long.
You have to come back, Mr. Reed.
We'll have to get Peter back.
Thank you for inviting me.
When Arsenal are doing better.
No, but listen, win a few games, but by the time you're asking me back.
No, that's what I mean. Honestly. That's what I mean.
I've hit my belt.
We've depressed him. We have depressed Peter Reed.
And hey,
listen, cheer up, Peter Reed.
Amanda and KC, we've somehow, you know, made a non-Arsenal fan depressed about Arsenal. This is unbelievable.
I
think this could be one of our great achievements, our first. Well,
listen, I've got to deal with him tomorrow.
Peter, we've had some guests on, some ex-footballers, and over the years, some brilliant guests. But I have to say, you are one of our best guests we've ever had. I cannot believe we've been on an hour and 35 minutes, and I could go at least another couple of hours talking to you.
Comments are unbelievable. Superb.
We're so pleased and privileged.
I haven't told you all my stories about me bust up with Wenger and everything. I haven't told you.
Oh, come on now. Don't
you can't leave us.
Leave us like that.
A good bust up's great, and then you kiss and make up over a red wine.
Well, you have to tell us right now.
I'll tell you next time.
Okay.
Now, let's let part two. Peter Reed,
part two.
Definitely. You fellas be safe out there in Viva España. Okay, doing a phenomenal job. We're getting so many comments. We have a lot of listeners in the Asian market. They're loving what you guys are doing and really enjoying your stuff. Super Kev, thank you so much for today. Unbelievable. Mr. Reed.
Oh, I love you.
See you.
Absolute
queen or
legend.
Princess. Queen or princess. By the way, what about that question? Four times you asked me.
Which one?
What's it like having a good captain?
And I'll ask you on Twitter as well.
On that note, PG, remind everybody.
Peter, I love you. You are my favourite blue scouser now, apart from Alan Myers. You too, I tell you, my favourite. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for everyone listening. This has been one of our best shows ever. Kev, stay safe Peter, stay safe in Spain.
Lovely.
Sophie, thanks. I've had a great night. And he's gone.
Bye, I love it. He's backed out already.
Hey, what I will say is the Christmas show is Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes. Can you two come on?
What I'm going to try.
We're still live, by the way.
We're still live, just to let you know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Everybody in on it. I'm going to try and get him, Peter, and Joel, the host.
Oh yeah.
To join me on the phone.
Oh, with a few shandies.
No, because we're working.
You. Oh yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm gonna try and get them on because Joel, listen, he's gonna cause a stir to Gooners because he don't like us.
Who does he support? Like Kev. Who is he? Who does he support?
He's the host, Joel Morrison. He's a new.
No, he hosts their show. Yeah,
oh, Geordie. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, right. Geordie. Well, let's just say goodbye to everyone because they're still in the chat. So thank you, everyone. Honestly, it's been one of our best shows. I know they don't want us to go, but on Wednesday, we're going to be here from 9 to probably midnight by the amount of guests we've got coming on. And now Kev's going to bring the crew on from. It's just going to be brilliant.
From Facebook.
Yeah. He's trying to get back in, hilarious.
I knew he'd want to come to our party. He could not miss out, could he? Look at that face. Look at that little face up there. Right. Oh, hi, Sonny. Right, everybody, thank you so much. And always Arsenal.